Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today I'll be talking with author and speaker Sister Ave Clark about her friendship with a man named Arthur, who suffered from mental illness. Sister Ave will share the ways in which Arthur was a model of hope, faith, grace, and Jesus' love to her, and how we can all learn to be more Christ-like by following his example. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Sister Ave Clark, an author and a beloved speaker in the New York City area. Sister Ave has written a book about a special friend of hers named Arthur Morell, who suffered from schizophrenia. Life was difficult for Arthur because of his mental illness, yet he didn't go down the path of bitterness and resentment. Instead, says Sister Ave, he chose the way of humility, simplicity, and quiet perseverance. And his life contains lessons for all of us. Joining me now to talk about her book, titled Arthur, Thank You for Being Jesus' Love, I am pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Sister Ave Clark. Sister Ave, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, you have written this beautiful remembrance of your friend Arthur Morell and the challenges that he faced in life. But tell me first, how did you first come to know Arthur?
It was over 15 years ago. I was giving an evening of prayer in Brooklyn at a parish. And at the end of the evening, I give out a holy card, and on the back is my phone number and my address. And Arthur came up to me, and he asked me what time I would be getting home. I said, about 9:45. He said, can I call you at 10 p.m.?
Uh-huh.
I said, yes. That night when I got home, 10 o'clock, Arthur called me, and that began a series of calls every day ever since.
Wow. Well, what was it about Arthur that drew you to him, that really developed that deep friendship?
I think the first time I met him, he told me right away how much he loved Jesus. And it was his faith. I also knew that Arthur had a mental illness, schizophrenia. So I realized, being a counselor, that there would be difficulties in his life. Arthur would share he had difficulties, but he would never share them in a way that he was angry. He always said, I know God is going to get me through this.
Yeah. Well, what is involved in schizophrenia? How did the symptoms, how did the symptoms manifest themselves in Arthur?
He had like fragmented thoughts. He would be chatting with you, and all of a sudden he would go into his own reality, or he would just start to talk about things not related to the conversation. And very often I would say, get him back on track, and then he would say to me, oh, thank you for getting me back on track so politely.
So he was aware of your own kindness towards him then, too?
Yes.
Well, how did people, was that a lifelong illness that he suffered with?
I asked him once, I said, Arthur, may I ask you questions about your life? And he said, oh, yes, sister, that means that you care about me. So I asked him, I said, Arthur, about how old were you when you were diagnosed with schizophrenia? He said, well, I was about 17 years old, but I just thought it was like another illness that would go away. And he said, then when it didn't, he was a smart person. He would read about it, and he would realize that this would be a lifelong journey with this disease. He took his medication. At times it would help, and other times it would just make him feel very weary.
Okay. How did other people react to Arthur? Because, I mean, throughout the book, you know, Arthur is just a model of love and kindness and forgiveness to everyone. But I'm curious, did he ever have to deal with that kind of judgmentalism that comes from other people?
Yes, because sometimes his behavior, Arthur was never violent. He was a very gentle soul. But sometimes, because he would start to talk about things that wouldn't relate to the conversation, he said some people would make fun of him.
Okay.
Arthur would not get angry at them. He would just turn the other way, like in a different way. And Arthur, I think people sensed about Arthur his goodness. Mm-hmm. So I would think, from what I gathered, most people accepted Arthur. They understood that he had differences mentally, but they always welcomed him. And I think that was the greatest gift that he had, was this beautiful, I called him a beautiful soul.
Yeah, yeah, no, and it sounds beautiful that other people accepted him the way he was, which is a great thing to say for humankind.
Yes, and the people in the parish that he ended up, St. Jude's in Brooklyn, they're the people that welcomed Arthur, and he became a convert.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, first let me say that I'm talking to Sister Ave Clark about her book, Arthur, Thank You for Being Jesus's Love. It's a great remembrance of her friend Arthur Merrill, who suffered from schizophrenia. What was his spiritual background? How did he come to love Jesus so much that, you know, that he left you with such a good impression of it?
And he loved his Jewish heritage, too. He told me when he was a little boy, he used to walk through the streets of Brooklyn, and he would see these churches, and he would be very drawn to them even then. And he said one day he was walking down the side street, and they were having a big carnival, and the parish priest was calling everybody into the yard, and Arthur stood there, and he said, come on, you can come in. And Arthur said, well, I'm not Catholic. Mm-hmm. And the priest said, that doesn't matter. Come on, there's hot dogs and fun. And Arthur, he just felt that there was a welcoming. Mm-hmm. And when he loved to go sit in church quietly, and he said he would just look up at the cross and feel Jesus comforting him on his journey with his own cross.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's powerful. And frankly, I'm just struck by the story of the priest welcoming him in for a hot dog, which just shows that, you know, God can use any little instance to come into your life.
That's right. I think in the book, there was this part, just to show the way Arthur was, he was walking down the street near the bus stop, and he saw a man fumbling, looking for something. Mm-hmm. And as he got closer, he smiled at the man. He said, sir, what's wrong? And the man said, I can't find my car to get on that bus, and I have to get on it. And Arthur took his card out of his pocket, and he said, you could have mine.
Aww.
And the man says, then what will you do? And Arthur said, it'll make me happy. And the man did take his card, and he looked at him, and he told Arthur, you're a fine gentleman. Mm. And then Arthur, I said, what did you do the rest of the day? And he said, oh, I took long walks, because he didn't have his card anymore. But yeah. See, he was a generous soul.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is an incredible amount of generosity there to give away his only Metro card. But and it was, it's kind of like the title of this book. You know, the title is Arthur, Thank You for Being Jesus's Love. But, you know, he really was Jesus's love to so many people. Is that why you picked that title, or was that a phrase that...
Well, one day I was sitting next to Arthur, and he always would say that, oh, thank you for being Jesus' love. But it was the day before he died, last Holy Saturday, I was with him. And we were sitting at the prayer garden, and as I looked down, his shoelaces were untied, and I was thinking, gee, he could trip. So I quietly, like, leaned over, and I tied his shoelaces, and as I looked up, he was smiling, and he says, thank you for being Jesus' love. Mm. And I have to tell you, it just struck me very deeply, not knowing that my friend the next day would have passed away, that how much he did love Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think, like you said, I mean, you were showing Jesus' love to him, and he was showing Jesus' love to you.
I guess that's what we're about in life, aren't we?
Well, it's what we're supposed to be about. It's nice that Arthur really modeled it. And you know, you say throughout the book that, you know, he was a person who chose love and kindness instead of bitterness or resentment or locking himself away. And I think that that's an important lesson, because we can forget that love and kindness can be a choice. Maybe it's not the way we're feeling, but we can still choose to do that. So just talk about that a little bit, that choice.
Yes. You know, he was a very patient man, where I think in our world sometimes we're all going so quickly, we're not as patient as we should be, even with some small things. But Arthur was very patient, and he had a roommate once who, they were not supposed to drink where he is, but he said once in a while his roommate would go out and he'd come back and he would have it on his breath. And the one day the roommate said, well, they have meetings for me. And Arthur said, well, I'd be happy to go with you. Mm-hmm. And Arthur went to the AA meetings with this man, The man then passes away, and Arthur was never impatient with him. And in the end, he never said anything against the man, except he did a fine journey struggling with his addiction.
Yeah, wow.
You know, he was not a negative man, and he wasn't Pollyanna about life. He he understood that there were hardships, and sometimes he would be disappointed or hurt, but he didn't let that control his life, like you just put out. He chose to have a good attitude.
Yeah, yeah. And he sounds almost saintly, really.
Well, you know what? I think he is. And, you know, I wrote that book this summer, you know, thinking I didn't hear that phone call ring anymore when Arthur would call a lot.
Sure.
And I started thinking, what could I do to let other people know, not just about Arthur's goodness, but about the example he gives to all of us, that, as you just brought out, that we choose to do the right thing and to share goodness.
Yeah, yeah. No, and this book is a beautiful reflection of that.
Oh,
I'm Tony
you.
Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Sister Ave Clark. Her book is called Arthur, Thank You for Being Jesus's Love. And another thing I really loved about the book is the power of community. You share a lot of touching stories in the book about Arthur, and there's one about his 70th birthday party and how you and all his friends came together for a celebration. What did those friendships mean to Arthur?
He called them his Catholic family. When we had that party, I told all the people, and everybody wanted to come and bring something. And when I told Arthur about, we're going to have a party for you, Arthur, he didn't say, oh, no, no. He said, oh, how wonderful. Thank you for celebrating my life. And when he came and he sat around the table and everybody said something to him when they gave him the gift, but he would unwrap the gift in front of them and look right at the person and read the card they gave and tell them how much it meant, not the gift, but your friendship and your faith means so much to me. And so people that day, we all received the gift because of the way in which Arthur received the joy of that birthday party.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I love that story and just the little details you put in about him throughout the book. Like there was one about how he used a small battery-operated tea light that you gave him. He lit it every morning and night to express gratitude to God, because it demonstrates a mindfulness about living that I think may not be practiced by the average person. And I will fess up to, I don't, you know, do it as much as I should either. How did Arthur nurture that spirit of mindfulness and gratitude?
Well, I remember giving him that one, that light, and that little light that he lit every morning. And he would look at the light and he would think of the light of Jesus' love in his life.
Yeah.
And even if he was feeling a little bit down, he'd tell me, I said, oh, it's hard to get up today because he was feeling depressed.
Mm.
And I would say, all right, Arthur. But he said, Sister, I lit that light, and I kept looking at it, and it gave me a sense of my own light inside. I can do this.
Right.
So his mindfulness was about centering his life around the light of God's love. And I used to say to him, Arthur, you know what? Never leaves you, even when you feel a bit sad. And he, when he saw somebody else sad, when one of his friends, Nina, lost her husband, Pete, he would call Nina up. And then he'd call me later and said, oh, I called Nina and we chatted. And she started to cry. And I listened to her tears. And I thought to myself, here's a man who is centered in life. Despite what he's going through, he can listen to somebody else's sadness. And sometimes people, they don't want a lot of words. They just want to be listened to. So he became that light for others.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he sounds like a real Christopher, then, because the name of the Christophers was chosen because it means Christ-bearer. And he sounds like Arthur was definitely a Christ-bearer who also lit that candle rather than curse the darkness.
Yes, and in the book, I talk about a piece of artwork I saw. And it's the heart, Jesus carrying a heart to the safety of a boat. And there were times where I thought of Arthur at like Christ carrying Arthur to the safety shore of compassion and acceptance and friendship. And then there were times where I saw Arthur carrying others with his kindness, his hope, and he had a good sense of humor, his good cheer.
Right, right. Well, how did you write that he felt a real kinship with Pope Francis? Why was that?
he just loved Pope Francis. He told me, Pope Francis accepts everybody. I love that. And then we would talk about mercy, mm-hmm. and I would tell him what Pope Francis said. He said, oh, I like mercy. It's in my eyes, my hands, and my heart.
Wow.
And we sent the Pope a copy of this book because we wanted the Pope to know that how much Arthur loved Pope Francis because of his simplicity of life. And I'll be honest with you, you just said something before that Arthur sounds very saintly.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe he is.
Yeah. No, it sounds like he lived as close a life as you can get to being a saint on earth, and very likely maybe is right now a saint in heaven, too. So do you still talk to Arthur sometimes as if he is with us?
I do. And, you know, my picture, when you just mentioned Arthur watching, I could see Arthur in heaven saying, God, Sister Avi's being interviewed today about that book she wrote about me. And then God says, oh, Arthur, isn't that wonderful? And they had this conversation. Once I said to Arthur, mm-hmm. Arthur, you're a missionary. He was, oh, Sister, I've never been to a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, Arthur, you're an ordinary missionary of everyday life. You go out. He'd wave at the garbage men, the sanitation men, the mailman, and everybody knew him.
Mm-hmm.
He'd smile and be waving at them. And I said, Arthur, someday you will be like St. Therese. You're going to live your heaven doing good on earth.
Mm.
And I believe he is.
Sister, tell us a little bit about how people can get a copy of Arthur, Thank You for Being Jesus' Love. I know it's available on Amazon, but are there other ways they can get it from you directly?
There are other ways. They can also get it from me through my own address, Heart to Heart Ministry, 209-3445th Drive, Bayside, New York, 11361. They can call me at 718-428-2471 or through my email, pearlbud7@aol.com. And if people do get it to me, they will get a picture of Arthur in the front of the book and also a special holy card with a poem on it that a man who attended one of my retreats and heard about Arthur, the man also is blind, and he wrote two beautiful poems about Arthur for the book.
Yeah, and it's really a book worth reading, so I hope readers, listeners, reach out to Sister Ave to get it. I'm Tony Ross. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. We're talking about Sister Ave Clark's book, Arthur, Thank You for Being Jesus' Love. I just want to touch on your own story a little bit, Sister, because you write in the book that you used to teach special education classes for children with special needs. So I'm curious, did that experience, in a way, give you a foundation for your friendship with Arthur?
I think so, because I look back on those years as wonderful teaching years where I learned so much from my students
mm-hmm.
with special needs. They might have been mentally challenged, but I have to tell you, they were never spiritually challenged.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and they taught me about honesty and hope and courage.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that was the seed that would bring me continue to work with people with special needs, and I still do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you write in the book that you also dealt with the shadow of depression for a period in your life, and you said Arthur sometimes had to deal with depression. What happened in your situation? How were you able to move through it?
In my situation, it's very interesting. That first night that Arthur called me on the phone, he said, I knew you before I met you. And mm-hmm. I thought, I wonder what he means. So I asked him, and he said, oh, I read your book, Lights in the Darkness for
mm-hmm.
Survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel right away he was telling me something else,
mm-hmm.
that he was a survivor as I am. So that was a time in my life where I was dealing with issues of abuse and violence in my life
mm-hmm.
that caused me to have anxiety and depression and pain, which eventually I also moved from. And now I even help survivors and people in domestic violence, too. So I do understand about anxiety and panic attacks. I have PTSD,
mm-hmm.
and I eventually, years later, then I would be hit by a train.
Mm, yes,
and
I remember that.
I would end up in the hospital for almost a year learning to walk again and
mm-hmm.
also to write. And Arthur would send me a card,
oh.
and he said, Sister, don't you worry. I believe you'll walk again. Just lean on the heart of Jesus, love, and others.
Wow.
Which I did.
Yeah.
So Arthur and I, our connections with him
mm-hmm.
were very wonderful and
yeah.
life-giving.
Through those times of darkness, was Jesus' love always present for you, or did you have some angry conversations with God, too, at some points?
I would say I understand anger. I guess you might say mine moved into fear.
Fear,
I would become like fearful.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say there was something, and I'm not sure what, maybe like Arthur, I always had that small little spark of hope in me.
Uh-huh.
That little light of hope never went out despite my struggles. I would always say, you know, Lord, I'm going to keep going forward.
Yeah.
Despite how I would struggle to go forward, I would keep going forward. And I truly believe that that was my faith.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how did you come to pursue the vocation of being a Dominican sister?
Well, this goes back many, many years ago.
That's okay.
When I was a little girl, I ended up in camp run by the Amityville Dominicans, mm-hmm. upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the sisters, I just watched them. They were very kind. And then later on in school, I had them, and I decided I wanted to be a teacher. And as I entered the order, as life went on, I decided I wanted to work with people with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
I always was drawn to the students in my class that struggled, and I didn't want them to be defined by the struggle. I wanted them to be defined by their effort.
Mm. Okay, okay. And that gave you the right opportunity to do that, being a Dominican sister.
That did.
Yeah.
Well, I am 55 years later, still going forward.
Now, when did you found Heart to Heart Ministry? Because, I mean, I was reading all about it, and you have so many different aspects of the ministry. I know you travel all around the Diocese of Brooklyn and Queens here in New York, but you do so much more with Heart to Heart Ministry to help people. Tell us about the work that you do.
Well, I started this almost 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when one door closes, another one does seem to open.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always a person, I can carry my little CD player with me and go. But all of a sudden, people were calling me on the phone. I mean, they call me across the United States. I even have a truck driver that calls me. He stops at different stops. He goes, "This is Matt from Colorado, sister. How are you today?" And then he shares with me, a lady from Minnesota calls just for me to pray for her family.
Yeah.
People across the ocean. So I have different ministries. People with post-traumatic stress disorder,
mm-hmm.
people who lost a loved one, survivors of suicide, and people who lost a loved one to suicide.
Yeah.
And then, of course, families and children with disability,
mm-hmm.
and in bereavement and spiritual direction. But I guess the whole thing is heart to heart. And I often say only the wings of love and compassion can lift and carry us.
Mm.
I learned that from my first grade teacher. From my mom and dad,
yeah.
especially from, I have brothers and sisters, especially my younger brother, Joe. I learned, like, compassion isn't something that you buy at a store,
mm-hmm.
or you keep stored in the closet. It's something that's in your heart, and
mm-hmm.
you stir it now and then, and as you stir it, it grows. And then you see it in others, and then you're inspired by other people. I saw it in Arthur. So Arthur, he transformed my life and changed me.
Yeah, yeah. And now you're writing this book called Arthur, Thank You for Being Jesus' Love, and I think you're going to change some other lives with people who read this, too. Tell me just one more thing. You know, the Christopher motto is, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And, you know, I think we've established that Arthur did that throughout his life, but just talk a little bit about how people who read this book, how they can maybe get a greater sense of hope in their lives, how it can change them and light a candle.
And a few people have told me it's the ordinariness of this book that really touched them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people need to do. So often people are looking for something extraordinary, something that's going to, like, change their life radically, when it's going to be those small little moments that you see,
mm-hmm.
those little lights, like the lights of Advent that come, and they just light the inside of you. And I think that's what Arthur did in his life. He took the little moments. And he let those wonderful moments. I remember he told me when he was little, he lost his dog.
Mm-hmm.
He was so downhearted, he thought the world was over. About 3 weeks later, the police called and said, "We found the dog that looks like yours."
Uh-huh.
It was Arthur's dog.
Okay.
There was a picture that I found in Arthur's room after he passed away, and I ended up putting it next to his coffin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a handsome little boy holding on to his dog, and he's smiling, and you could tell the dog had a grin on his face. And my feeling was, I said to Arthur, after that, he said, whenever anything else would happen, I would stir the memory of finding that dog, and then I would stir it into what's happening in my life now, how it could change a little bit for the better. And that's what I've done in my own life. Nobody is ever going to have a perfect life. We're all going to have the crosses or the hardships, some people more than others. But we do have that little light inside, like the Christophers talk about. If you just stir it, or mm-hmm. if others help stir it with us, I think we can have a happy life.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one more question, because I wanted to get to this phrase you use in the book. You say one of Arthur's gifts was radical kindness. How do you think our listeners today can live out this ideal of radical kindness?
I think that is an extraordinary gift mm-hmm. that we have every day. You know, sometimes someone has hurt us. And sometimes we want to ignore the person, or we feel we've forgiven them, but we know deep down we've only half forgiven them. Mm-hmm. Arthur forgave them. Mm-hmm. Arthur forgave some people who said harsh things or let the matter made fun of them. He said, if I hold on to the hurt, I become it.
Yeah.
And that struck me as like radical kindness, that we are asked to be in our kindness. We are being Jesus' love.
Yeah.
So there's a beautiful gift to think about every day. Every day we're kind. That gift of Jesus' love is being poured out in our world.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a beautiful thing. And for anybody listening again, just give your phone number and email address one more time, sister, if they want a copy of the book.
718-428-2471. And my address is Heart to Heart Ministry, 20934 45th Drive, Bayside, New York, 11361, and my email is pearlbud7@aol.com.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I've been talking to Sister Ave Clark about her magnificent book, Arthur, Thank You for Being Jesus' Love. It really is about the life of an ordinary man whose humility and kindness made him great. And I think that's a lesson we can all learn. Like Sister was saying before, not all of us can achieve great things on a world stage, but we can achieve great things dealing with the people in our lives, practicing kindness and compassion and mercy and forgiveness. All these little things that make a wonderful life, as the old Jimmy Stewart movie showed, they really came true for Arthur. He was a good soul, possibly a saint knight right now, very likely. And I think reading his story in Sister Ave's book will make a difference in everybody's life. So please pick up Sister Ave Clark's book, Arthur, Thank You for Being Jesus' Love. And Sister, thank you so much for sharing his story and this book with us today.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate being interviewed.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
The grace of God has a way of sneaking up on us. And if we're not paying attention, it might even slip right past us. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Opening Yourself to God's Grace. It will help you become more aware of the moments in your life when God makes his presence known in unexpected ways. Moments that can draw beauty out of brokenness and allow you to experience the depths of his love. To request your free copy of Opening Yourself to God's Grace, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.